don't have that unlimited resource. But you know what? God does. And that's why he can do it, because he just can. Amen. You don't have to explain it, just enjoy it. You don't have to understand it, just appropriate it. Amen. Enjoy the grace of God. Amen. And I know some people that got to analyze everything, try to figure it out. Forget it. It's just simply that he wants to, that's all. And just because he can. Isn't it good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Hart's going to come and preach to us. God bless you, brother. Let's worship the Lord in the Word. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we didn't take up an offering?
No.
All right. Well, good. I love taking up offerings. I like giving offerings. I said, I like giving offerings. Amen. The Bible said the Lord loves a hilarious giver. Amen. That's what it means, that word cheerful. It literally means hilarious. Amen. People that almost get beside themselves when they give. Amen. And so we're going to honor the Lord with our giving today. Before we receive this offering, I do want to make mention today of a need that we have. As you know, Brother Martin works with prison ministry. In my eye, the reports are coming out of that. Men are getting the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Healings. Just apostolic revival right there in the prison. Amen. But isn't it sad that some of those men don't even have a Bible? We want to purchase these Bibles like the one I have here. This is printed by our Word of Flame Press. I'll get that in a minute. Word of Flame Press. There it is. Amen. In the front of this Bible, there are 32 pages of Pentecostal doctrine. The oneness is in here. Holy Ghost is in here. Repentance is in here. Amen. Our doctrine's in the front of this Bible. So it's a wonderful study Bible. Also has a concordance in it. So it's the kind of Bible that would be very beneficial to these men. We can purchase these Bibles for $10 a piece. Amen. This is an opportunity for you to bless somebody with a gift that will keep on giving. Amen. So we need about, what, there's 24 in a case? Is that what we want to start with? So I wonder today if I could get 24 people that would be willing to give $10 for these Bibles. If you could just stand with me here so I kind of know. Just stand up. And, you know, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot here. I'm standing on 2 feet, so I'm going to give 20. Amen. Amen. All right. So, all right. There's another 20 there. So that's 4 and 5. Okay. That's okay. All right. Well, we got it. Amen. So guess that's wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Now, what you want to do, we want to separate this somehow so that, so let's just get this to Brother Martin. Just give the money to Brother Martin and we'll make sure that it gets accounted for. Okay, sister. Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. Amen. So this is a wonderful project. And if we get more than 24, that'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We don't mind giving more in a case. Amen. And so we want to do that. This is we're just exciting. I'm telling you, man, if he could, one of these Wednesdays, we're just going to have to cut him loose, let him tell you about what's happening. Praise God. It's just marvelous what the Lord's doing. Amen. And so it's just tremendous. All right. So we have got great pledges here, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you for your willingness. I knew that you would, and so we're going to honor the Lord with this. All right. Praise the Lord. Brother Ferguson, pray for us, please. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This present offering, of course, is our tithe and offering, supports ministry, and pays the bills. Amen. So thank you for your generous giving. I appreciate that so very much.
Let us rejoice.
Could we stand one more time for the reading of the word today in Judges chapter 2 and verses 1 through verse number 5. Judges chapter 2 verses 1 through 5, and I'm aware of the time this morning, so we're going to try to redeem it as best we can. Verse 1 says, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and it brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be as snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord." God bless you, and you may be seated today. I'm going to try to minister today the amount of time that we have of from Gilgal to Bochim. Now, these two places are very closely situated geographically. Gilgal and Bochim were in very close proximity, but they were worlds apart spiritually. And so when we talk about from Gilgal to Bochim, that we are talking about something that transcends a location. We are talking about a place in relationship to our walk with God. The Bible says in verse 1 that an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. And as we continue to read about this angel of the Lord and how that the children of Israel, after hearing the word of God from the angel of the Lord, that they offered up sacrifice, we recognize that this was no ordinary angel. That this angel is the angel of the Lord that appeared unto Joshua in Gilgal many years before as a theophany of the one true God, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. And when the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joshua, he told Joshua that he came as the captain of the Lord's host. This happened immediately after that Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land. And it was immediately after the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt by circumcision that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joshua and assured him of victory. He assured him that Jericho would be defeated and that the name of the Lord would be exalted. And so at Gilgal, they rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And the knife of the Lord came upon the children of God. Amen. Because of the circumcision. In fact, the very word Gilgal literally means rolling away. So it was at Gilgal that they rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And they entered into a covenant relationship with God. And God promised victory. God promised them a land of milk and honey. God promised them that He would go with them into battle. And that all of the land that was promised unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob would be theirs if they would only obey the commandment of the Lord, and that they would totally remove the inhabitants of the land and destroy their altars and destroy their images, to remove their gods and their high places, that the Lord would be with them. And it was a covenant that God said that I will never break. And so it was that it was at Gilgal that Israel celebrated the Lord's Passover on the 14th day of the first month, that they celebrated the Passover unto God, commemorating their deliverance out of Egypt. 40 years to the day that God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. It was at Gilgal. And on the very next day, on the morrow following the keeping of the Passover, the Bible says that the manna ceased to fall from heaven. And they partook of the unleavened bread of Canaan. And they gave thanks unto the Lord. And they worshiped there. And now the Bible tells us in our text, amen, that the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal. It was from that place. This is the same angel of the Lord. Here once again He appears unto all of Israel. And this is near the end of Joshua's life. And He, instead of announcing impending victory and the conquest of the land, the angel of the Lord announces judgment that's going to come upon Israel because they have made peace with the inhabitants of the land. They did not destroy them as God had commanded, but they made a peace with them. They covenanted with them. They made a league with them. They were at peace and allowing them to live among them. And so God said, because you have rebelled against the commandment of God and you have disobeyed my voice, I'm going to bring judgment upon this entire nation. And so God left Gilgal and he came to Bochim. Amen. Then we'd like to contrast these two places. Amen. The place of the rolling away of the reproach and Bochim. The Hebrew word is actually pronounced Bochim, and it means literally the place of weeping. It, amen, was not where God wanted them to be. Amen, it was not what God's desire was. Amen, Gilgal was where God was. Amen, but Bochim was where the people were. Amen, God left the place, amen, of blessing, and he came to the place of judgment. I want you to know that God does not want to bring judgment. God does not want, amen, to reprove his children. Amen. But before, amen, God forsakes his people, he will call them, he will call us to a place of repentance and restoration, because God wants to roll away the reproach of the world. God wants to roll away the reproach of Egypt in our life. Amen. Even if it means weeping, even if it means distress, even if it means a time of tribulation and trial, amen, God will leave where he wants us to be, to the place, and he will go to where we are. Amen. You see, Gilgal was where the Lord was. And it was where, amen, where the people were meant to be. It was where God desired, amen, to pour out blessing. Amen. But Bochim was where they ended up. Amen. It wasn't where God wanted them, but it was where they were. Amen. And because they had disobeyed the voice of God, they had rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal and he came to Bochim. It's very interesting, these two books, Joshua and Judges. Joshua begins, amen, with such hope and such anticipation. It begins with the visitation of the Lord at Gilgal, because after they crossed over the Jordan, amen, the first place that Israel pitched their tents was Gilgal. There they met the commander of the host of the Lord, and he assured them that they would surely, amen, defeat the enemy, that they would truly take, amen, the city of Jericho. And it was at Gilgal that they put up a memorial unto the Lord. They put the 12 stones as a reminder of the mighty works of God. How that God had caused them to come and to take possession of the inheritance by a great and mighty deliverance, and rolling back and holding back the waters of the Jordan River. Amen. It was a place where God wanted them to return again and again and again, that they might constantly be reminded of the grace of God, of the mercy of God, of the miracle of God. Amen. That God had given them the land, that God had chosen them to be a special people. It wasn't anything that they had done. It wasn't because they were deserving, but it was the hand of God. It was the arm of the Lord. Gilgal was where God wanted them to be. But he found them at Pokim. Gilgal was where they partook of the bread of Canaan after the manna had ceased. They began to eat from the promised land. They began to eat, amen, what the promised land had produced for them. But Bochim was where they partook of the sins of the Canaanites. Bochim was where they compromised their integrity. It was in Bochim that they became like the people that God had destroyed before them. It was at Gilgal where they remembered the mighty works and the miracles of God. But is it Bochim where they focused on their own strength and their own selfish desires? Amen. We need to get our focus off of ourselves, and we need to focus upon the Lord our God. Amen. God wants us, amen, to go back to Gilgal, to go back to the place of remembrance. Amen. To roll away the reproach of Egypt, to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Gilgal was where they separated themselves. They severed, amen, themselves, amen, from their past. But Bochim was where they gave their sons and their daughters in marriage to the heathen, and they mortgaged their future. I want you to know that God, amen, wants us to be a holy people. God wants us to be a people that walk in His judgments and walk in His statutes. Gilgal was where Israel returned and again to worship the Lord. It was here that Joshua returned after defeating the enemy. Amen. For it was God that intervened on their behalf. And the Bible says that Joshua prayed unto the Lord because the sun, amen, was near the horizon. Amen. And the Bible says that God caused the sun to stand still. Amen. For almost a day. Amen. For almost 24 hours. Amen. God caused the sun to stand still. Why? Because He wanted to give victory to the people of Israel and unto Joshua. Hallelujah. And after that great victory, amen, Joshua returned to Gilgal and he worshiped the Lord. Amen. But it was at Bochim, amen, where they traded total victory for compromise and carnal security. We've got to be careful that we do not compromise ourselves, that we do not compromise our values, that we do not compromise the doctrine, that we do not compromise, amen, the truth of God's word for a little bit of carnal security. Amen. They were content to live in peace with their enemies. God forbid that we ever get so comfortable in this world, amen, that we begin to make a compromise with the world. God would rather that we remained in Gilgal. Amen. You see, Gilgal was God-centered, but Bochim was man-centered. Gilgal was a place of repentance, but Bochim was a place of rebellion. Amen. There is one thing that I find as I look at the Bible and I see, amen, the contrast that exists between Bochim and the Gilgal. But there's one thing that is common to the both of them, beside the presence of God. God was at Gilgal and God was at Bochim. But both of these two places were a place of worship. The Bible says that Israel worshiped and they offered sacrifice unto God in Gilgal. But in Gilgal, they made commitment to serve the Lord. At Gilgal, they remembered the mighty works that God had done Amen. And the focus was on the Lord. But at Bochim, amen, they also worshiped God. The Bible says that when the Lord rebuked them and told them of impending judgment, amen, that the children of Israel wept and they offered sacrifice unto God. They worshiped the Lord, but they worshiped Him, amen, amen, with regret for their disobedience. They regretted the fact that they had not totally destroyed the inhabitants of the land. They had not destroyed all of their altars. They had not torn down all of their high places. They regretted that, but they worshiped without obedience. They worshiped without repentance. You can worship God, and the presence of God can be there. I want you to know, just because God is there, amen, doesn't mean that everything is approved. Amen. God left the place that He approved to go to a place that He disapproved. Amen. God is in all places. He's all things, all at all times, everywhere. There's no place that you can go and escape the presence of God. You can ascend into the heights of the clouds and God is there, or you can ascend into the bowels of hell and God is still there. God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. It's not enough just to be able to recognize the presence of God. Amen. God appeared unto Israel in Gilgal, but He also appeared in Bochim. But He appeared for different reasons. He appeared in Gilgal to encourage them, amen, to conquer the land. Amen. To take possession of what God had promised them. Amen. To be a partaker of the fruit of the land. But in Bochim He appeared, amen, to warn them of judgment because they had failed, amen, to obey the commandments of God. They had failed to do the thing that God had called them to do. Oh God, help us not to be satisfied with just a presence of the Lord. Amen. God, help us not to be satisfied because we feel God. Oh, let us not be satisfied, amen, because He is present. But let us worship God, amen, out of a sincere heart. Let us worship God, amen, in submission, in honor to God, and bow down, amen, before Him as a humble servant. They wept, but not in repentance. They wept, but not because they had a change of heart. They wept, not because they intended to amend their ways. But they wept because they realized that what God had promised them. They wept because what God had given them had slipped through their fingers. It was slipping away from them. What could have been, amen, a tremendous blessing, amen, God said, will be a time of judgment. It will be a time of torment. For He said, I will not drive out the inhabitants of the land. I will not, amen, bless My people. But I will cause the inhabitants of the land to be thorns in your sides. And their gods will be a snare unto you. Amen. Because you have not obeyed My voice. They sacrificed. And they worshiped. But in vain. They recognize the presence of God. But he that was their hero, he that appeared as the champion of the armies of the Lord, came not to them to trumpet their victories, but rather to warn them of their judgment. You see, just because God is here doesn't mean that all is well. Amen. God wanted the people to return to Gilgal. But the people found themselves in Bochim because they did not understand the importance of obedience. Oh God, help us today that our worship is not enough. Worship's wonderful. God delights in worship. But worship without obedience is not pleasing to the Lord. God said, I would rather, amen, that you hearken. To hearken is more important than the fat of rams. And obedience is more important than sacrifice. You can't substitute sacrifice for obedience. There are a lot of churches today that have substituted worship for obedience. Entertainment, amen, for holiness. Amen. God, amen, doesn't want a church, amen, to be a place of reproach. But God wants the church to be a place of blessing. God said, I'm going to go where they are. Amen. I'm thankful today that God is willing to leave where He is to go where we are. But He doesn't come to where we are, amen, to leave us there. He went to Egypt, but He didn't intend to leave the children of Israel in Egypt. He may find you in Egypt, but God's not going to leave you in Egypt. He may find you, amen, weeping, but He wants to lead you to rejoicing. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God doesn't want you to dwell there. Amen. God doesn't want you to live there. Amen. He wants you to walk in His blessings, to walk in His love, to walk in His grace. Yes, they were close geographically, but they were worlds apart in the realm of the Spirit. You may not be very far away from God. The Bible says He's not far from any of us if haply we would seek after Him. Amen. You can feel God today if you'll seek after God. Amen. We may not be very far from God in one instance or from one's perspective. But if our heart's not right, if our spirit's not right, if our attitude's not right, amen, we can be worlds apart from where God desires for us to be. You see, Bochim was on the side of the mountain just a few miles west of Gilgal. They were almost where God wanted them to be, but they weren't where God wanted them to be. Amen. They were close. Amen. In a geographic sense. But they were not where God desired for them to be. Oh, let's go to Gilgal today. Let's roll away the reproach of Egypt. Let's roll away the things, amen, of the past. And let's embrace the future. Amen. Let's not be drugged down, amen, by yesterday's defeats. But let us march, amen, toward tomorrow's victory. Hallelujah. Let Him lead us into the battle. Let Him lead us in the fight. Amen. And then we can worship the Lord in victory. Praise God. Would you stand today?
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back. To the place where I first received you, take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Oh, take me back.
Where I first
believed.
Jesus, take me back.
Oh, take me back. Oh, take me back
to the place where I first received you.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Would you come and pray today?
Jesus, take me back. Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Take me back.
Oh, take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Jesus, take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back. Take me back.
First
believe.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord,
to the place where I first received you. Take me.
Take me back, dear Lord.
take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back to Lord, where I first believed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God thinks a lot of obedience than he does of options. We think in options. God, what if I don't want $100 worth? What if I just want $10 worth? We think in options. God just thinks in obedience. But when God has to take an option, it's usually not very good. You don't want an option from God. You just want to obey so that he can give you all the promise. He wants to give you the fullness, not a portion and not a part. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. No compromise. Amen. Let's give it all we got, folks. We don't have much further to go. So let's give it all we've got. Amen. In Jesus' name.